Next off today, we have a couple scripture readings. First one is going to be Romans 10, 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and is so saved. And then the next scripture reading you'll find in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by the time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them, and early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Morning. So if you'll bear with me, I wrote a sermon like I usually do. I'm not quite feeling it, so we're going to see how this goes. Maybe something else needs to be said. But let's just start out with reviewing what we just heard in the Gospel of Matthew. Because I feel like the biblical writers can be really terse. Especially when you're hearing it out loud, maybe you haven't heard the story in a while, or even if you had heard the story recently, it's easy to miss details because it's so dense. So this story comes right after the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus fed 5,000 people from just a few loaves and fishes. And after that had all gone down, and Jesus had taught the people and fed the people, it says that Jesus sent the disciples off. While he stayed on the shore, they went off in a boat across the Sea of Galilee to Gennesaret. And he stayed behind Jesus to dismiss the crowds and basically shake some hands and kiss some babies and say bye-bye. And so once he was done with all that and his disciples were out already rowing on the Sea of Galilee, he goes up onto a mountain to pray. And he prays there alone until nighttime. And so, at this point, the disciples still haven't made it to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is not very big. So, presumably at this point, they expected that by nightfall, they would have made it to the other side. But they haven't. It says the winds were against them. And so they are all alone out in the darkness fighting the wind without Jesus, which I think is weird, right? Like, I'm imagining how the disciples are feeling at this point. Jesus said, yeah, get on the boat. It's cool. I'm going to stay here and dismiss the crowds. What was Jesus thinking about? Why would he send them on ahead of him like that? Because, you know, this is first century AD. You couldn't just call an Uber and say, hey, I need to get to Gennesaret now. Like, the boat had sailed, right? So the disciples are fighting through the night against the wind. And this is something I feel like I've missed routinely in the story when I've heard it before, is it's not nighttime when Jesus shows up. Like, the day had just begun to dawn. So it's like the dawn light is here, right? But it's still dim. And as they've been fighting all night against this wind, they thought they'd be in harbor by evening. And then off the side of the boat, they see a human figure walking across the Sea of Galilee within shouting distance of their boat. Now, what happens next shouldn't surprise anybody. The disciples freak out and start screaming, it's a ghost! And then something weirder than it being a ghost happens is they hear the voice of Jesus say, no, everybody chill out, it's me, take heart, it's okay. Now, when I read stories like this, I try to think like, so how would I have been reacting to this? And I think more than anything, my first reaction would be, after I got over the, like, wow, it's not a ghost, wow, Jesus is walking on the sea. My next thought, I think, might be, get in the boat. Get in the boat, Jesus. What are you doing? So it's interesting to me that that's not what Peter did, right? Peter's first thought wasn't get in the boat. Peter's first thought was, how can I get on the water? Bold move. And Peter actually does it, right? Jesus, he says, Jesus, invite me out of the water. And Jesus says, come on out. And so Peter steps out onto the water, and he begins making his way over to Jesus. Now, there's just one problem, which is the wind is still blowing, and there's still a storm. So, as Peter's walking out on the waves with Jesus, this big gust hits him. And he's having this moment with Jesus, right? And suddenly the moment's just sort of broken. It's like he's shaken loose. I imagine it's like, you know, you're having like, imagine you're dating somebody and it's really exciting and you're off and you're having a nice dinner or something and you're just really connecting and you're just totally in the moment. And then suddenly a wind comes through and slams the door as loud as you can imagine. And you're startled. It just broke what was happening there, right? And I imagine it's like that when Peter gets shaken to the bones by this wind, and suddenly he's not focusing on Jesus anymore. He's focusing on that startle, right? And so Peter begins to sink. For just a minute, Peter forgets about that moment he's having with Jesus, and he gets overwhelmed. But Peter, and I think Peter doesn't get enough credit sometimes. Sometimes, you know, Peter's just the idiot, right? But Peter's portrayed, I'm seeing Louise, like, what the heck are you talking about, Micah? Peter's often portrayed as being really, like, not too smart, as all the disciples are, especially before the resurrection. But I think Peter doesn't get quite enough credit here, because Peter walks onto the water, and then when he's distracted, he starts to sink. But then he very quickly says, save me, Jesus. So he knows what's up. He knows who's in control here. And so it says immediately, like no hesitation, Jesus reaches out his hands and lifts Peter up. And so, again, with the scripture, it's terse and, you know, it's not a screenplay. So it doesn't tell us, like, it doesn't say, and Jesus said warmly, or and Jesus said skeptically. It doesn't tell you how Jesus' tone of voice was, right? But when I imagine Jesus, he says, you little faith, why did you doubt? And you can imagine Jesus being like, you have little faith, why did you doubt? But I imagine him, you have little faith, come on, man. You know I got you. So when the two of them get into the boat, it says that the wind ceased and the storm stopped. It's like turn off a switch. And that's what it was like. That's what it was like to be in that magical moment. Like Peter was in that magical moment with Jesus out on the water. He was having that connection. And when he got in the boat, that sense of connection, that magical moment happened in the boat too. And the wind stopped and the storm ceased. And the wind had seemed so powerful, the storm had seemed so scary, but now that Jesus was there, he shone through it. And it turned out the disciples discovered that they thought the storm was real and they thought the wind was disturbing, but it's Jesus who's really real. The windstorm was literally blasting them in the face. It was a physical reality, but it turned out to be an illusion, a nuisance that Jesus commanded to turn off like the flip of a switch. And so this makes me wonder about the things in my life that seem so real and that bother me so much and that distract me so greatly and that objectively are very important. Which of those are a distraction and an illusion and something that Jesus has command over and that I don't need to worry about? There's a book I really love by C.S. Lewis called The Screwtape Letters. And if anyone, for those who haven't read it, I cannot recommend it more strongly. Towards the end of the book, C.S. Lewis describes the funny relationship that we humans have with the idea of what is real. And he points out that we sort of have it both ways. We have a contradictory relationship with real. Because on the one hand, you know, say you had that magical experience with that man or that woman out having dinner at that restaurant, and you had this connection. You might say, well, sure, but you know, probably the wine was good and there was good music playing and you were attracted to them. And so that's all that was really happening there, right? It wasn't so much that your subjective experience was real, but there were physical reasons behind this, right? So that's one definition of real. And we take that seriously. But then there's another definition of real that we also take seriously, like, imagine someone was telling you about their experience bungee jumping, you know, from 100 feet up or something, right? And, you know, you can imagine them saying to you, you cannot imagine what it's really like, what it's really like to stand there on the edge of a building and get ready to jump off of it. That's a different kind of reality. We think that's real too. So sometimes we say that the mere physical facts are the reality, and other times it's a subjective experience that matters. And in our reading from Matthew this morning, it's revealed to us that the ground and foundation of all reality, what is really, really real, is Jesus. He's mirroring that reality in the beginning from Genesis 1, the Spirit hovering over the waters. And the waters representing chaos, right? And Jesus is doing this, walking on the water. He is hovering over the waters physically. And he says, peace, be still. I just want to go back to Peter before I talk about the boat, because I think we're going to end up on the boat. But I want to talk about Peter, because again, Peter surprises me. Peter does something I would not have thought to do, which is not say, Jesus, get on the boat, but to say, Jesus, let me come out with you on the water. And the boat, right, like people have been reading this passage for 2,000 years, and a very, very popular interpretation here, which I think is a good one, I think it's a correct one. The boat's the church, right? The disciples are on the boat. The disciples become the early church. They're the community that gathers around Jesus. That's what the church is, it's the people, right? So the boat's the church. This is where the church is gathered. And Peter steps off the boat. And I'm wondering about that. Because I'm thinking about times that I've had to step off the boat, or times that I felt like I had to step off the boat, and I had to leave the church, whether it was a particular congregation, or at one point, whether it was completely not being a Christian for a while. I left the boat. And I think about why I left the boat. And I think a part of the reason I've left the boat at many times is that I wanted to walk on water with Jesus. And it didn't feel like the community was ready to go there. It didn't feel like there was that level of, that there was, it didn't feel like the rest of the community was having that magic moment with me with Jesus, right? And so I've stepped out onto the water with Jesus. I think a lot of us have. And I also know that I've had gusts of wind hit me, and I have sunk, and I've had to cry out for help. And I think there have been times in my life when I might have been tempted to say the end of the story is for me to walk out on the water with Jesus, and that's what it means to be a good person, spiritual, religious, whatever you want to call it, a good Christian. That's what it is. It's walking with Jesus on the water, right? And I think Peter was brave. But the end of the episode is not Peter. It could have ended with Peter and Jesus walking to Gennesaret and the boat following them, right? That could have been the ending of the story. But that's not how it ends. It ends with Peter and Jesus getting back into the boat, and the sea is stilled, and the magical moment comes to the people in the boat, and they see what's going on too. So I think an important message here is that our boat is this community, this church, this gathered meeting, this assembly of people here. This is the boat. And we're struggling against the winds of the world because the world has different priorities than Jesus does. But we're rowing together. And even though the night is dark and it gets scary and it gets distracting, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses calling us to press on to the dawn, press on to the light of Jesus. And Jesus comes to us in the boat when we recognize who's walking beside us on the water. I've wondered what would happen if they hadn't noticed Jesus walking. I wonder if he just would have met them in Gennesaret. And that would have been the interesting story. Well, Jesus just showed up at Gennesaret after praying on the mountain. But they saw him and they recognized him when they cried out to him. Jesus identified himself to them. So when we recognize him walking beside our little boat here, he brings comfort and power when we welcome him into the boat. When we see him for who he really is, he commands the sea and the waves, and we come to know what's really real. And sometimes some of us are going to need to leave the boat for us, to help us see who's walking out there. For those of us who are bold enough to join him on the waters, when we take risks for him, when we're foolish for him, Jesus catches us when we fall.